Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. Our next guest is Brian Turner, and Brian is with American Lawsuit Protection Services out of Newark, California. And Brian was with us a few months ago, and we talked about a very interesting book, Don't You Want to Prevent Lawsuits? Everybody does. And Brian's book was called How to Kill a Lawsuit, which is all about lawsuit protection. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that and what's going on with that. You know, there's kind of like an epidemic of lawsuits going on in the country. So we're going to get into that. So Brian, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for having me on your show again.
Yeah. Thanks for coming back again. It's great. You know, it was very interesting. Last time we got a lot of comments because your topic is hitting a lot of hitting a lot of people. Why does it seem like there's such an epidemic of lawsuits going on in the country, Brian?
Well, the United States has a dubious distinction of having the most lawsuits of any nation on a per capita basis. According to the latest figures, there have been about 20 million lawsuits recently filed in just 1 year alone. And going back 20 to 30 years, we've hovered anywhere from 15 to 20 million lawsuits. And I think that definition is a lawsuit epidemic. It's a major problem. And 1 in 4 Americans are going to be hit with a catastrophic lawsuit, which will wipe them out. And that's according to The Economist magazine.
1 in 4 Americans. Well, I hope somebody's getting their act together and learning how to prevent some of this stuff. Is a lot of it preventable?
Well, you know, the most amazing thing that I've discovered, Bill, with 20 million newly filed lawsuits and with the lawsuit epidemic in the midst in the United States, no one is teaching the public how to protect themselves against lawsuits. If you went to any of the universities anywhere in the United States, even any of the law schools, and you walked in and you asked, hey, I want to take a course called Lawsuit Protection 101. Where do I sign up? They would look at you and tell you, frankly, we don't offer that type of course. There is no school in the United States today that teaches anyone about lawsuit protection. And I'm flabbergasted by that. I can't explain it. Isn't it amazing? You would think someone would offer a course, try to help the public, and yet no one's doing it. And that was the reason for me to write the book, How to Kill a Lawsuit, because it's probably the first book out and available to the public. It basically is a lawsuit protection primer. It's equivalent to a lawsuit protection 101 course. And I'm hoping that people will pick up the book and they'll learn and they'll protect themselves. And preparation is key here. Key. I come across too many people who tell me once they're hit with a lawsuit, they decide to transfer their assets. Oh, God, my home, I'm going to give it to my sister for a few thousand. I'm going to secret my bank accounts, hide all that money. And I look at them and I tell them, you ever hear of fraudulent conveyance? Do you know what that means? It's illegal. Once you're involved in a lawsuit or even threatened, you cannot be transferring your assets. That's not lawsuit protection. That's against the law. The judge is going to unwind it. You're not going to get away with it. So the key is preparation. And we're here in California, and we know there's going to be a big earthquake one of these days. So what should the public do? Well, most people should do things and prepare for the big one before it happens. And that's the same thing with lawsuits. You have to prepare before you're hit with one. That's the key. And so not too many people are doing that, unfortunately.
You can't buy fire insurance when there's smoke coming out of the attic, right? I mean, these are things that have to be thought of well in advance, or else you do risk what they call fraudulent conveyance, which just resets everything back to where it was. So again, this huge number of lawsuits, how does it compare to, say, how things were even 5 or 10 years ago as far as the numbers that we're seeing?
Well, according to the statistics that are available for the last 3 decades, 30 years, the number of lawsuits filed in the United States has hovered between 15, to 20 million every year. And it's pretty steady, and it's a tremendous number compared to other countries. No other country can compare with the number of lawsuits. And so the question that most people ask, well, how come the United States has so many lawsuits? And I think one of the reasons, well, there are a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is that the United States, unlike Europe and many other countries, the loser of the lawsuit does not have to pay the winner's attorney's fees. And so I think encourages frivolous lawsuits being filed, malicious prosecution. If you go to the United Kingdom today and you file a lawsuit against someone and you lose, you are going to have to pay the winner's attorney's fees. And I think that's a powerful deterrent. You better have a very strong case. Otherwise, I would think twice about suing someone. And that's why in the United Kingdom, they don't have nearly the number of lawsuits on a per capita basis that this country has. So I think we should be looking at that very closely. Maybe we should be changing that, where the loser does pay the winner's attorney's fees. I would think that would definitely help and lower the number of lawsuits filed. So contingency fee is another thing, Bill.
I was going to say, I've heard that other countries out there that won't allow lawsuits based on contingency fees, and so they wipe out that whole layer of nuisance kind of suits. Is that accurate?
Yes, and let me explain to your listeners. Some probably don't fully understand what a contingency fee system is. This is the only country in the United States that allows a contingency fee legal system. It means that the lawyer will take your case, and if you don't win, you don't have to pay the lawyer. The lawyer can only collect from either a settlement or from a jury verdict that's collected. And the United States is the only country that allows it. Now, people tell me, well, what about the poor people? You know, they can't afford a lawyer. How are they going to get their cases heard? And the question I ask is, well, you know, if the contingency fee system is so great, how come no other country on this planet has followed suit? No other country, no countries in Europe, no country elsewhere has adopted contingency fee system. How come? Are they? They're pretty smart people in Europe. Listen, I've been to Europe, and you got some bright people over there. How come they don't allow that? And most people can't answer the question. And I think the answer to the question is because they know it encourages frivolous lawsuits, and it overburdens the legal system. And so the rest of the world has decided, no, we're not allowing a contingency fee system. So if we eliminated the contingency fee system like the rest of the world has, then, of course, we would not have the number of lawsuits, you know, that we're experiencing today.
Brian, has the contingency fee system always been, as far back as we can see in America? Did we start out that way, or did we take a wrong turn?
I don't know when it began. I don't know when the contingency fee system began. I don't know how long it's been operating. I don't even know if it existed, you know, when the country was founded, you know, in the late 18th century. But I would, I really don't know. But it's probably gone back maybe 50 to 100 years. Mm-hmm. I think what we have to do now is we have the contingency fee, and we should be looking at that very carefully. Does it need to be modified? Should we rescind it? We need to be looking at that. So, you know, if the loser ends up paying the winner's attorney's fees, if we take another look at the contingency fee system, make some modifications or perhaps rescind it, if we do those things, it's going to be extremely helpful and drive down the number of lawsuits so that the most meritorious ones, you know, can have their day in court. Because I'm all for lawsuits. You know, there are bona fide and legitimate, you know, lawsuits.
Of course. Yeah.
And we don't want to stop people from having their day in court with a legitimate and a strong case. But there are too many borderline cases. There are a lot of, you know, very, very weak cases. And that concerns me. And look at some of the jury verdicts, too. That bothers me tremendously, these runaway jury verdicts. You know, the infamous McDonald's case, you know, a negligent, you know, woman spills hot coffee in her lap while driving. And then the jury awards about this is in the beginning, 2.5 million against McDonald's. You have to wonder, you know, that's a problem.
Crazy. So
people look at that and they say, hey, it's the lawsuit lottery. Maybe we'll win the big one. Let's just roll the dice.
Now, what kind of movements?
I'm really troubled by some of these runaway jury verdicts. And I think the laws need to be changed to really kind of tamp down these outrageous verdicts. And
what kind of Brian, what kind of movements are there to repeal or reform the contingency system? Is there anything going on that our listeners should know about, maybe they could participate in?
There is an organization called CALA, Californians Against Lawsuit Abuse. They have a website. I've contacted some of the people, but I just don't think they're making any headway. It looks good on their website, but the reality is they're not making any headway. You have to realize 2 out of 3 politicians in this country are lawyers, and they have a vested interest to keep the system the way it is. And so while people routinely suggest ways to modify and improve our legal system for legal reforms, we're not, unfortunately, making much headway. And so I tell people, just don't hold your breath.
Right. Well, you're telling people how to protect yourself. So let's get into that topic. And if we can't fight them, how do we protect ourselves against them? I guess is what it boils down to. So what are some of the top ways that you tell people that maybe the low hanging fruit kind of strategies they can do?
Well, I don't want to give away too much information from the book, but in all sincerity, number one place is to read the book, How to Kill a Lawsuit, because it really, there's 50 to 60 chapters, and it's a simple plan for maximum lawsuit protection, and it walks people through. It really guides them. But the key here is preparation. And one tip I will give people, we're here in California, and the bad news, folks, this is a community property state. That's not good from an asset protection viewpoint, from lawsuits. Most people that own homes in California are doing it incorrectly. They're owning the home as husband and wife in community property. That is not a good idea. A much better idea, and here are a couple of options. One is for the least vulnerable spouse to hold title to the home. If you have a strong marriage, then it might make a lot of sense to have that. Another thing, you can transfer your home into an irrevocable trust. That's very powerful. Mm-hmm. Here in California, besides the community property laws, the homestead exemption is terrible. It's awful. You know, if you're living in Florida or Texas, those are two great states. They give you an unlimited homestead. You can have a multi-million-dollar mansion, lose a lawsuit, and guess what? You get to keep the family home because of the unlimited homestead. Hopefully one day, maybe California will raise the homestead exemption, or maybe there'll be a federal law where there is an unlimited homestead. But the key here is protecting the home. Because once there's a lawsuit and a judgment against you, good collections attorneys know that the Achilles heel for most people is to go after their family home. Most people don't want to lose the family home, so it's highly vulnerable. So a key effort should be made to protect the family home. So going back and talking about the least vulnerable spouse, I give a stereotypical example. Let's say the husband is the breadwinner. He owns an automotive repair shop. He's highly vulnerable to a lawsuit, right? One of the employees puts on the brakes and there's an accident. Guess what? He gets sued. The wife is at home taking care of the children. Believe me, I've got 3 grown children. That's a full-time job. That takes a lot of work. But
right.
It's not like the wife is going to get sued. Very unlikely. She's not in that position to really be vulnerable to a lawsuit. So it might make sense to transfer the home to the wife. You can use what's called a transmutation agreement, and there's a lot of case law about that here in California, and record the transfer, and so that's very helpful. Or you can put the transfer of the home into an irrevocable trust. But remember, you have to do these transfers before you're involved in a lawsuit. Well, even if you're threatened, if someone threatens you, Bill, hey, Bill, I'm going to sue you, and you decide, hey, oh, I'm going to transfer my home now. That's technically a fraudulent conveyance. A lot of people don't know that. So As long as you haven't been threatened with a lawsuit, there's no pending litigation against you, and you don't have any present creditors, then I would really think very hard at transferring the home into an entity that protects it. But community property is very dangerous, really, really very dangerous, and it's not a good way to hold title, especially here in California. So
well, that's a great,
you know, that's my advice.
That's a great universal tip. And again, tell me how many chapters there are in the book.
Well, there's about 500 pages in the book, close to 60 chapters. I also even have a protection plan. It's on my website. Very few books come with a gift, but this does. This is backed by my publisher. There's a $10,000 protection plan. So I've got your readers' backs. You know, if
right.
they buy the book, I've got their back. And they get a free protection plan, very good protection plan, which is very, very helpful. So that's at my website, howtokillalawsuit.com.
Right, howtokillalawsuit.com. Readers, there's so many pearls of wisdom in this book that you just, you know, it's something you should have on your bookshelf, because someday you might find yourself grabbing that book above all others to figure out how do we protect against this. But again, as Brian's saying, you don't want to do this after something's happened. You want to do things when everything is nice and calm. Read through the book, pick out chapters that you like, and read through them. And then you get a protection plan for reading the book. I mean, how much better could it be than that? So, Brian, they find it on your website, right? Or on Amazon or other outlets. Where do they find it?
Yes, the book is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. All the major bookstores carry the book, How to Kill a Lawsuit. And they can go to www.howtokillalawsuit.com. And the website has all kinds of important information. It discusses the various chapters in the book. It describes in detail what the protection plan is all about. There's even a contact page. If any of your listeners, they have any questions, concerns, comments, please, by all means, get in touch with me on the contact page, and I guarantee I will respond. I will definitely respond to all the messages, all the emails that I get.
Well, that's great. This is not a book that's been written by somebody who just learned about this. This is someone who does this for a living. So I would encourage any of our listeners, go to the website. Little hints and suggestions or things at the website they'll find as well, Brian?
There's actually a section about some of the outrageous lawsuits. It's kind of interesting stories. I describe the McDonald's lawsuit in detail. There's more to the story than most people realize. Then there's a very interesting story about a judge in the Washington, D.C. area who sued a dry cleaner store for $50 million. That's right, $50 million because his suit was lost. And he eventually got thrown off the bench.
Unbelievable.
Judge Pearson. That was a very, very interesting case. So it's
That's worth visiting just to read
really
something.
Wild,
outrageous.
There's a chapter on basically shocking lawsuits in the book.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate you joining us again. It's a fascinating subject, and of course, it affects, like you said, 1 in 4 Americans could face a lawsuit at some point in their lifetime, a major lawsuit. So you need to prepare for that, and this is one resource that you can use. 500 pages worth of tips, ideas, and precautions for you. So, Brian, thanks very much for joining us again. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. I've been talking with Brian Turner of American Lawsuit Protection Services. We're going to take just a short break, and we'll be right back with our next guest. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.